podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
It is the Anfield Wrap. It is Neil Atkinson. It's Josh Sexton. It is Sean O'Donnell. And it is Ian Ryan joining you for effectively the next 45 minutes or so to talk about the Mighty Boys in Red up against Shrewsbury and the way in which they went about the business and the context of it all. And especially we will focus in on the younger footballers during this one, the senior lads we chat about them more than often enough. We'll also look ahead to the game against Arsenal. It is all to come. The first part about it, Sean, the manager says post-match, it's so difficult setting up a team, starting training on Friday and then involving all these young lads. They're all really good footballers, he goes out of his way to say. But I think that was one of the things that I was sort of taking from the first 20 minutes of the game, 30 minutes of the game, was I was getting a little bit, not cross, but I was thinking we could just do with being a little better here. And then one of the things that occurred to me was they might literally, often we go, this is a team that's never played together before. But sort of occurred to me was they might never have really trained together before, certainly not more than one session.
Yeah, I mean, that team, that was the first time they've ever played together and the last time they'll ever play together as a team. So I think, you know, and talking about the disruption before the game and stuff, I mean, it's difficult enough around Christmas, January to sort of prepare a team, put a team together, think about what youngsters you're putting in. But when your hand is literally forced, you know, it must be even more difficult. So you know, you've got to sort of give them some credit for that. And I think, look, I always do this. When the team come out, it was a lot stronger than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know, particularly sort of looking at the defence we put out and you know, Fabinho in there, and I was made up and you look at it and think, oh, you know, we'll batter these. And then the first sort of 20 minutes, half an hour of the game pans out in a way that it was always going to pan out, because these players, as I've just said, have never played together before. As you said, they probably never trained together before. Like, they're just forming partnerships for the first 20 minutes and sort of like feeling each other out, whereas that Shrewsbury team has played with each other week in, week out for probably the last 30 years or whatever. That's what it felt like anyway. So yeah, I think the first 20 minutes, half an hour was just the case of them sort of just feeling themselves into the game, really.
I think what one of the things that was said before the match on Shrewsbury in general was the thing Cottrell's done is he's kept them tight. Even at the start of the season when the results weren't going for them, they weren't shipping a lot of goals. You've only got to look at the goals against Colum all the way through the season. I don't think they've shipped more than three in any game since August. So the even when they've not been very good and very winning, they've been quite solid, Josh. And I think you just got to see them effectively be organised. But that can frustrate you because you want to see Liverpool cut loose and you want to see the young players and the energy and all the sort of stuff. As Sean says, maybe we just need to remember that sometimes the first 20 in these sort of games is just going to be a bit like this.
Yeah, and also you've got to remember that how much of a big occasion it is. You know, you wrote in your match review about the goal from Udo and sort of the idea of that being, you know, probably the biggest goal of his career, probably the biggest goal ever scored, and that's been a sort of nice thing. But you've got to remember for every one of those lads who stepped on the pitch in a Shrewsbury kit yesterday, how much of an occasion what that was for them, and you know, their manager will have sort of said that the first 30 minutes at least is going to be a marker for them to lay down, to be energetic, to get up Liverpool a bit because of a few of the younger lads being in the team and them not being used to the sort of physicality of that. But also you see it whenever lower football league opposition come to Anfield, they're always a bit more organised, aren't they? I think at that level in particular you don't get loads of sort of, you know, swashbuckling football teams and that kind of thing. You get teams who are a bit more organised, know how to sort of fall back into a defensive shape and that kind of thing, and I think that's what you saw again from Shrewsbury yesterday.
You get to see, I think there's one of the things that worries you at times in games like that, Ian, when the lineup's like that being pointed out. I think we all think the keeper's a good keeper. We all obviously think Virgil and Konate are great. Mm-hmm. Robertson there, then you've got Fabinho, Curtis Jones a little bit, but there is a little moment where this could just become a bit toothless. And Liverpool were moving them around, putting them left to right. And, you know, when they went 1-0 up, I did just think to myself, well, did we just look a little toothless? And for me, the most important moment in the match is the Gordon equaliser. I think it changes everything, not least because every one of those Liverpool players on the pitch then goes, oh, we can score a goal. And I think that was the mindset that I thought was just lacking a tiny little bit first 20 minutes, was precisely what do we think a goal looks like? Do we even think we can get one which isn't a set piece? And then suddenly we score. And I just thought you saw Liverpool just turn like that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sometimes we'll talk like nerves don't play a part as well. And I think it's understandable that especially the young players, it is going to take them that little bit of time just to feel their way into the game. I suppose when you look up and see your mate, that's a little bit of comfort. And I think Tyler Morton talked about that. It was great just looking up and seeing lads he's played with for years and stuff. But the Cade Gordon goal does settle them, and it's just a brilliant goal. And I think lots of people have already spoken about it, but it is that thing where you don't really feel it's taught, where the lad just buys himself a little bit of time. It comes very, very natural. I think that's when people start to talk about him as being a special player. It's things like his first touch. It's things like the ability to find space in a crowded area. When you look at the goal, there's about five or six lads surrounding him. It is a little bit like, wow, there's loads of players there. There's lots of things probably running through his head, but he just takes that moment and then slots it. It's a lovely finish, and you know, you can only imagine what that does for his confidence. But I thought all the lads did themselves justice in different ways. I think, you know, the young kid up top, well, it's a bit of a struggle for him. And even you look at his size and who he's coming up against, I think it was always going to be a bit of a struggle for him. I think Conor Bradley does really well, other than maybe an iffy 15-20 where he's not quite getting close enough to the left winger. But again, it's about just settling in and getting used to it. And I think Tyler Morton comments after the game and says, you know, for all the kind of, I suppose, lack of experience, but for all the games they've played together, they won't have come up against anything like that. And I think even in the Premier League, Burnley probably are the only team who give you something similar to that, where it is so direct, it is so physical. So they all deserve huge credit for what they did yesterday.
The finish, Josh, it's reminiscent of Salah 2017-18 finishes, where it's a funny one where you feel as though the keeper could just save it, but he's never going to. And you know, the number of times I used to say about Salah that year, the number of goals he'd score, where you could almost describe them as quite slow goals. This season is the one when he runs through against Goodison and the ball in the end trickles over the line. And it's a little bit of a trademark, I think, around Salah, that. And I think it's interesting that Gordon, effectively, to me, that is just a Mo Salah finish. It's not to compare him to Salah full stop as a footballer, but to me that was a Mo Salah style finish, where the ball is inexorably going in, but he's not broken the net in scoring it.
Yeah, it's a snapshot, isn't it? I don't think he probably, you know, has much sort of backlift on it or anything. He just sort of takes it in the moment, and the composure as well in the sort of build up to it is unbelievable, isn't it? For a lad, you know, as Ian says, there'd be lads who are older than him there who would have been more nervous walking out onto the Anfield pitch. He's the youngest player on the pitch there, and is sort of pulling off a finish like that and showing the composure among, you know, a defensive giants effectively that Shrewsbury could put out. And I think it's interesting as well, you're talking about the sort of level of the opposition, because I was thinking, being sat on the ground yesterday, that, you know, those lads at that level will have played in the Papa John's Trophy and played against other League One and League Two teams and that kind of thing, but they never really have the defensive foundation that Liverpool had yesterday. And that was what I thought was interesting in Jurgen Klopp's selection, was that they did have that. They had, you know, Virgil van Dijk and Konate and Andy Robertson to sort of be there and be the adults in the team, because I think you see, you know, performances from Liverpool in the Papa John's Trophy where they are dead exciting and they get, you know, they play better football than Football League sides for the most part, but then the sort of the almost the rhythm and the nous, I would say, of the Football League sides always tells, and Liverpool mostly end up getting battered because they lose out on set pieces and lose out in the sort of defensive quarter of the pitch. And I think you saw yesterday why Jurgen Klopp had made that selection, because there's a load of exciting young lads there who can play a bit of football going forward, but then they had a solid foundation to fall back on.
The Gordon thing, there's an excellent piece by Neil Jones on Goal today. The Gordon thing, Sean, is he does look genuinely exciting in a way that, you know, with the levels that he plays up, but then when he comes through, the way Rooney spoke about him around the time he moves from Derby to Liverpool, you know, Rooney says something on the lines of, he's one of the most exciting teenagers he's ever seen, to which I wish the journalist had said, does this include when you looked in the mirror at the age of 16, Wayne? to be honest with you. But, you know, there is this thing about him where some players just have a certain thing where you get to go, yeah, that's something that we can really work with. And it's interesting to me, it's been a while since we've had one of them properly in attack. He looks to me like a last line player, more so than Jones, who I'm also excited by. I just think he looks like he could be a Liverpool player quite soon.
He does. And, you know, I read that piece as well, and he's clearly highly thought of, isn't he, at Liverpool. You know, to be so young, 17 or whatever, come in, be asked to play in that position, and then score the goal that gets the team back into the game, I think that says a lot about his character. And you're right, he does look like much more of an attacking, you know, offering than Paps Jones, or, you know, even Harvey Elliott to an extent. He looks like a proper, you know, forward player. I was just really impressed with him, you know, the whole game. I think, again, coming back to the age thing, it's such a big thing. You know, Ian mentioned it earlier about nerves and stuff. you know, he's got to be nervous going into that game. You can't be that young and go into, you know, a full Anfield, you know, with the expectation of there were senior players there, but he's literally going up there to sort of almost lead the line for Liverpool.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, how and then to score that goal, as I say, I was just really impressed them, you know, throughout the game.
For me, it's a question of where we can get him on the ball. And I thought it was interesting after Firmino came on, the manager clearly sent an instruction out where Gordon became much more narrow, get a bit closer to Firmino for a period of time. I think it's funny, isn't it, because I get the impression he's got this natural air where he wants to pull onto the touchline, but seeing him, as you said before, in the crowded penalty area, I'm sure the manager's thinking, can you just get yourself a bit closer to the goal, please, because that's where you are going to do your business. And it is a little bit of a conflict that, you know, he needs to, I think that's one of the things they will be working on with him, is you make sure you are getting between the posts, because once he's between the posts, to me, it looks as though he could really do the business.
Well, the manager says, doesn't he, after the game, that he finishes like an adult, which I think it's clear to see he does, because there's players with much more experience that wouldn't have took that chance the way he took it. You know, it's so easy just to snatch at that and look to get loads of power into it, but he doesn't do that. It's much more of a finesse type finish. I think maybe the kind of conversion of Elliott to a midfielder is because that they know this player's coming through, and they think, well, we don't need two. We've already got Mo Salah operating in that position, so we need to maybe look at what we do with Elliott, and you've got Cade Gordon coming through. I'm really intrigued to see where they go with his development. I would like to see him get more minutes. I think there's every chance you see him get some game time on Thursday. We don't quite know what that team looks like yet, but it wouldn't surprise you to see him get minutes from the bench. And listen, you know, who knows? He could even get a start. It's at home. You just don't know. I don't think it'll be full of kids on Thursday. I think it'll be mainly mainstays and experience, but you might just see one or two in there. Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's got the lot, Neil. I think there's things he's going to have to work on. So I think the manager talked a little bit about people played it quite safe, including him early on. But you understand why, you know, back to the nerves points, it can't be easy coming into a game facing a physical challenge like that. So it's understandable why one or two are just giving little wall passes, keeping it nice and safe, nothing too over the top. But then I think as they grow into the game, all of them, and especially Gordon, you see a little bit more confidence. Obviously, the goal must kick him on a little bit. And then when other players are almost treating you like an equal. And I think you see a little bit that with that Tyler Morton as well, where he doesn't necessarily look like the kid. I think players are looking to him like he's part of the team as well. And I think players grow off that, they feed off that. He's a really, really exciting prospect. And I think, you know, you've mentioned it there, someone like Wayne Rooney talking in those terms about a young player. No, that says a lot. That says an awful lot. So I think we can expect to see something really, really special from this kid. Albeit, you never want to go too soon. You want to give him a chance to grow and develop and stuff. And a lot can change between the age of, say, 17 and 20. But all the ingredients look like they're there.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things about you mentioned between the age of 17 and 20 is literal physical growth as well. I think this is one of the things that we almost don't account into when you see a lad who's sort of 17 or 18 come through, is that he's got, you know, years of sort of growing left to do, and where that leaves his body in terms of, you know, literal, you know, how the muscles stretch and that kind of thing, but also in terms of what it does for his pace, what it does for his physicality and those kinds of things. I think it's going to be a dead sort of interest and development to see Cade Gordon coming through the ranks. I wouldn't be surprised to see him going out and getting loans and stuff like that, and being the sort of player who bangs him in the championship, because he's got that sort of thing about him, and I said it before, I'll say it again, the confidence thing is absolutely massive for me, and he just seems to have it in absolute, you know, swathes. And Sean mentioned before about the idea of not going into Anfield and having nerves, and I think he will have had nerves, but in a good way, because he'll have known that was his stage to play on.
What I think, the goal settles them, all of them. Liverpool go 1-1, it settles all of them. And a really interesting one for that for me was Dixon Bonner. I think the manager also moves positions a little bit at that point, gets him further forward, so he's got a little bit less responsibility on the one hand, but more to do on the other, Sean. But I thought he was the one who came on the most by going 1-1. Suddenly he turns around, he sees his mates just scored at Anfield, and it felt to me as though he's gone, I'm all right. If he's all right here, I'm all right here. And I thought he was, from sort of 30 to 60, I thought Dixon Bonner just looked like a Liverpool player, and you can't pay a higher compliment.
Yeah, it was like they all looked at each other, wasn't it, when the goal went in, and was like, yeah, we're all right here, lads, we're all right. Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. I think it's funny, you know, obviously goals change games, and we know that, but it felt so important, that one yesterday, because, you know, as you said, we looked a bit toothless. I was just thinking, I just don't see where this goal's coming from. Yeah. We look so blunt going forward. Yes, we've got the ball, and we're just passing it around the back 4, and that's brilliant. But Shrewsbury are happy with that, do you know what I mean? And I was just thinking, oh, we're going to have to wait until we bring Firmino on or Minamino, and I feel sorry for the young lads here, but you know, as you said, Bonner looked like the goal sort of helped him the most, really, helped him settle in. And to be honest, I think they all look like Liverpool players from that point onwards. You know, it didn't look like we had a load of kids out, which is what we did.
Dixon Bonner's interesting, isn't it? You watch a lot of the under 23s and 18s, Josh. He's a reminder that at times this stuff's not linear. It's not like they just get better every week. He's been a little, you know, there's been times where he's looked as though he's about to make a leap forward, then it's not quite happened for him. He's also not young. He is 21 at this point. It was a massive, talk about the Shrewsbury players being a massive occasion for them. I think it was a massive occasion for him. And as I say, as the game wore on, it felt like he got closer and closer to being his true self.
100%, yeah. And you mentioned the idea of it not being linear. It's dead interesting for him. He actually was on trial at Portsmouth in the summer. So he goes on trial to Portsmouth and plays a few sort of friendlies for them. I don't know whether that was a view with a loan. I think it would be a bit unorthodox to do that with a view to a loan. I think it was probably with a view to a permanent move. And then he's been involved in a few Liverpool first team squads this season. So it is dead interesting. And he's one of the older lads who played yesterday. And as you say, he's always sort of shown flashes of promise. I think one of the big issues they've had with him at academy level is sort of not really knowing his best position, and him not really knowing his best position. He's sort of reminiscent of Ovie Ejaria in that sense, in that you think he's probably a number 10, but he gets a lot of time off the wings as well. You try and play him a little bit deeper, but one of the things that he never wanted for in yesterday's game in particular was graft, I thought. And that's maybe one of the questions that has been of him is he willing to graft enough? Is he willing to do enough of the dirty work to be a Liverpool first team player and to sort of, you know, reach his full potential, I suppose? And I think he showed yesterday that he is, and he was getting stuck into tackles with lads who were sort of far bigger than him. And I was really proud watching him, because I've seen him sort of come through from really quite a young age. And I thought yesterday he did himself really, really proud.
He nearly scores. It was yeah. Honestly, and I'm even thinking about it now, I've almost got a tear in my eye, because he attacks the ball like a man who realises I am just about to score at Anfield, and that must be almost like the longest 3 seconds of anything I've ever seen, where there's this journey of I might just be about to score at Anfield. I have scored at Anfield. Oh my god, the keeper's pulled off a worldie. Yeah. And it was he looked as devastated as I could imagine, like Salah being if he missed in a quarter final of a Champions League game, to make it 3-1 to Liverpool or something. And that was the only real shame. Apart from that, as I say, I think from the minute Liverpool go 1-1, he just clicks in, and then coming off the pitch you could actually just see what it meant to him to have got 70-75 minutes at Anfield.
Yeah, and you can't take any of that from any of these players, so regardless of where they end up, and you know, I think it's fair to say they're not all going to make it.
They're not all going to necessarily make it for Liverpool. No, they're making this top flight football.
Exactly, yeah. I think they're all going to have good careers at different levels, and that's absolutely fine, by the way. I mean, most of us can only dream of that. So what they did yesterday, that'll be with them forever. You know, that picture where, you know, you've seen Morton and Waltman together as young lads, and then obviously they walk out together, that will live with them forever and a day. So, I mean, that's really, really special. On the chance for Dixon Bonner, I mean, it's goal all the way. You're just thinking it's got to be a goal. And normally,
it's great work from Robertson.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, he did a lot of that yesterday. And I think it was replicated at times on the other side as well, which is really good to see. But in terms of that opportunity, it's one of them where normally if that doesn't go in, you are very, very quick to kind of criticise the forward, because it should go in. But it is a hell of a save. It's a hell of a save. If Alisson's making that save, we're talking about on air for about 20 minutes. It's that good. Do you know what I mean? Grande on maybe an hour. So it's a worldie. He does everything right. He puts loads of power into it. And he can't steer it to the goalie's left. He just can't, because the defender's coming across. So he can only really put it where he puts it. It's a hell of a save. And it's one of those where he'll be thinking about that, like last night. He'll be dreaming about it. He'll be thinking, what if? But on what he showed, I think he will get one or two more opportunities. Maybe he's one of the players where you think his future doesn't necessarily lie at Liverpool. But this season, Neil, it's such a weird one where lads you think might not get opportunities are suddenly getting opportunities.
For me, though, on him, the question becomes, Sean, to talk about the sort of the slightly strange career to this point, Josh mentioning the fact that he was at Fratton Park for a few weeks in the summer. You do wonder if, and he's trained with the first team a fair bit. That was one of the things that came out earlier in the season. You do wonder if it's one where Liverpool just haven't been that sure either way. Jurgen Klopp not that sure either way. Pep Linders not that sure either way. But maybe, just maybe, he'll come on for playing with better players. And that happens to footballers sometimes.
So that's one thing that I was just thinking. And you can't underestimate, you know, having such a world-class team that we've got, you can't underestimate how important it'll be for those players training with those like the likes of Salah, the likes of the first team, because they've got a level to reach and they can see the level with their eyes. You know, as I say, he goes to Portsmouth, he's probably thinking, who are these? Like, you know what I mean? I've trained with sort of, you know, the top players in world football, and I think that not just for him, for all of them, you can really see that. And you can really see, as you said before, you know, the Salah finish from Gordon, the clearly, even like Conor Bradley, you know, he to me looks like an Andy Robertson at right back. You know, they've got people to look at and say, right, that's the person I want to be.
What I think is difficult at times, Josh, when you get a bit of a broken team like this, I thought a couple of times in the second half, especially Van Dijk, because his range of passing is so good and he moves the ball so quickly. I thought a little bit with Fabinho. I thought Curtis Jones, even though he was tiring a little bit, at times he was playing into these lads and they weren't quite on the bike enough, because they're not used to effectively being in a match scenario when someone can get the ball to them with that speed. And I think that's something which, again, you've got to take into account, that they're going up a level in terms of the stage, but they're also going up a level in terms of what the teammates expect of them. And as I say, I think through the game, they begin to work all that out collectively. But I think Dixon Bonner is an example of one where he was the only one who gambled on Robertson in that. But even then, if he is thinking about it and analysing it to death, and I hope he isn't, I certainly hope he isn't listening to this, but he might even think, could I have been on my bike a little bit more? And I think there's a couple of instances through that you get all the way through the match where could they just have been a little bit more, hang on, this lad's really good, so he is going to find me.
Yeah, I find the team selection did interest, and I sort of wrote in my preview before the game that I thought it was going to be a bit more sort of evenly spread across the team in terms of just being sort of standard second string for Liverpool. Obviously that was dependent on COVID and injuries, of course, but I was dead interested in the idea that you went for some of those more experienced lads with some of the younger lads, because I think you actually saw it at Shrewsbury away when we last played them in the FA Cup, and I think that's probably one of Fabinho's worst games that he plays for Liverpool, that one at Shrewsbury away, and he's playing with a sort of load of younger lads and having to pick them up, and those younger lads at the time were Nico Williams and Curtis Jones. So it goes to sort of show you that these lads who've now played with these first team players, and as you say, have sort of been raised to their level, it's going to be a massive experience for them. And I thought, you know, Tyler Morton was one for me who yesterday looked like he grew physically in stature during the game and sort of felt like he had a bit of responsibility to those younger lads who've maybe not been in and around the first team. And you know, Ian mentions Max Waltman being a close friend of his as well. I think he'd have felt almost a bit like, I'll help you get through this and I'll be one of the more sort of grown up ones of the younger lads almost, which is mad to say because you're on a pitch with literal grown-ups who've won big pots.
Morton's, for me, Sean, through the game, it's interesting how he does grow, and I think he grows physically. So there's a couple of things I think in that. One is with Morton, you know, he's been around the first team picture. I think there's a little thing there where Shrewsbury, they did sort of run themselves out a little bit, and Morton, whilst again the big concern for him in terms of playing midfield for Liverpool in the Premier League is he big enough? Is he physically imposing enough? But one of the ways in which he does impose himself physically on the game is he's arguably, for me, the footballer who looks the freshest on 70 minutes. And I think that's a good thing. And I think, but the other thing he does as well, more and more as the game wears on, is he just keeps the ball moving.
So he's a live example of how important playing games is for your development, and playing with first team players is for your development, because he's played in some pretty big games, you know, over the last sort of couple of months, and he's impressed. He really has, and every game he looks better. Yesterday I thought he was the standout, to be honest, out of all the young lads. He just looked like he was an old head on young shoulders. As you say, he was keeping the ball moving. He looks classy as well. He looks like he's got a bit of class to his game, and you know, it's clear that, you know, because he's had so much trust put into him, he's now sort of getting that confidence. Like, we talk about confidence going into a game and sort of seeing a goal going and all of a sudden everyone's confidence goes up. He's got that confidence of, I've played two or three with all these lads, I know how to do this, and I'll keep you going. So I thought it was great to see it, and great to see sort of development in front of your eyes, you know, live.
I think it's dead interesting the way that he's been sort of developed so far, because he mentions a few months back, I think it's when he comes on against Arsenal for his debut, that Thiago had been sort of his idol and the one he was looking up to. And I think actually Liverpool are sort of building him in a similar mould to Thiago. I think it's dead interesting that the games he's played six, you know, against Tottenham and against Leicester, Liverpool sort of lose that midfield battle. And I think it's because he is more in that Thiago mould. He's a six who you could play in a game like Shrewsbury. I know he doesn't play six yesterday, but it's those sort of games where you could play him at six. But I think you see him thrive more in that eight yesterday. And as Sean mentions, he looks classy. He looks like he's got, you know, some of them Thiago-isms on the ball. I think it's hard to compare because of the sheer level that Thiago is at, but he's got that sort of in his game, and he's not naturally a six. He's probably more naturally sort of somewhere between an eight and a ten, and I think you see loads of that yesterday.
What I think is interesting is I actually think as the game wears on, you see him dovetail with Fabinho. The number of times Fabinho would go and then Morton would sit in, it was interesting second half, and I think that could well be his future. He liberated Fabinho there. You also got the impression he was trusted by the older players, and I think that's massive for him too.
Yeah, 100%. And in terms of his position, you know, you're not really going to see a lad of that age and that stature play the six, because there's lots that you need to do as that player, and you're just not going to have the physical attributes. And I think height-wise, he'd be fine, but I think the manager's already spoken about his need to bulk up and just get a little bit stronger, and I'm sure they're working on lots and lots of things to get him to that position. I thought he was really, really good, and again, he just kicked on as the game wore on, as you said, Neil. It was a really, really strong performance, and you think, you know, things like the Tottenham game, whilst that would have been a tough learning curve for him, because it looked like he was a little bit out of his depth that day, and understandably so. You know, it was a bit of a, you know, thrown to get a team in some respects, and he's got to find his feet, and it was really difficult to get to that booking as well. And then even the Leicester one, you know, there's lessons to be learned there. I'm sure they'll have pulled him after that game and said, listen lad, you can't tackle like that, you just cannot get away with it. You've had a free one there, that doesn't happen again.
You've got that many more of them in your career.
Absolutely. So I know, and it went under the radar a little bit. I mean, I know there was quite a bit on social media about it, but in terms of it was a League Cup game, it wasn't in the Premier League. So I think he'll have taken those things and he'll have learned and he'll have implemented different things into his game, and I think you see that the weekend. And you know, we talked about the influence of Curtis Jones, who's another young player we forget that at times, but also the influence of Fabinho. And I think there was definitely an element of just watching and learning off Fabinho. I'm sure he's doing that in training. I'm sure there's an element of doing that in terms of the weekend as well, just looking after the football, keeping it simple. And I think in that position, you're absolutely fine with him doing that, especially if the game wore on. It was about kind of saving legs, retaining possession, being really smart with the football. And again, he looked like he's got those ingredients, Neil, just to be a really, really clever footballer who's able to adapt as well. I'm really intrigued to see where he goes position-wise. I do think he ends up going further back, but I agree with Josh. Right now, you'd say you'd maybe want to see him more in the eight, because that sixth position, it's such an important one, and it's a position where you can get really, really exposed by opposition as well. So,
especially the way we play.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's almost a bit of a thankless task, and I think judging him on some of those games is really unfair at times, because it is a really tough position. You know, you've seen, you know, Henderson, I think, actually does quite well there when he's been put there, but there'll be times where you think, you know, Henderson's a little bit unsure of where to be, and he's a much more experienced player. So to ask a young lad of 19 to be able to do that.
I never had Genie there for the same
exactly.
reason.
Exactly. It's a really, really difficult position. I think Thiago gets played there, but I actually sometimes worry when Thiago's there. As good as a footballer as he is, and he is a brilliant footballer, I think he takes a lot of risks at times. I think that sometimes makes you feel a little bit uneasy playing in the six, because you can get caught, and if you are caught, it's onto the back four. So really tough position to play. Let's see where he goes.
You mentioned before, Sean Bradley comparison to Robertson, and I think that's the comparison. Andy Robertson is in a 21st century way, don't get me wrong, he is a brilliant attacking right left back. Trent Alexander-Arnold's almost something completely different. What he's doing is unreal. But Bradley, to me, just looked like a very good, he tucked in a little bit, you know, it wasn't as though he just played on the outside, he did tuck in, he did come into that sort of position you sometimes see Trent do, where he's almost supplementing the midfield as much as the wide man. But I thought, other than 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes around their goal, you know, I thought it was a genuinely excellent performance.
It was, and the thing I liked about him is he keeps going. So he had a tough couple of minutes, and as you said there, but he doesn't give up, he doesn't sulk, he doesn't sort of let his head drop. He keeps going, he keeps pushing on, to the point where he's, you know, almost set up a goal towards the end of the game. He looks like a proper fullback, doesn't he? Like a proper fullback that you can sort of, you know, again, he needs to get on the weights a bit, I think, but once he's done a few hours in the gym, I think he could be a real prospect for us. And he's already a full international, isn't he? He already plays for Northern Ireland and stuff, so I think he's one that is definitely someone that you'd have as a backup moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. When I first saw Conor Bradley sort of playing in the under-18s and 23s, I almost thought he would be, you know, and I apologise to the Northern Irish lads, because I thought he'd be more in the sort of Steve Finnan mould. I thought he was someone who probably wouldn't get forward loads, and it was dead interesting a few weeks ago when Jurgen Klopp said that he'd had conversations with Ian Barraclough about Conor Bradley's position and the idea of seeing him more as a midfielder, because I think that's something that Liverpool have been keen to emphasise for him, is that he's not a fullback who can sit into a back four shape, because it doesn't suit Liverpool for him to be that way. He's got to be a fullback who gets forward more. And I think one of his best spells of play yesterday is where he has a little link up with Firmino on the right hand side, and Firmino flicks it onto him, and then he does do a big burst and run inside, and unfortunately it comes to nothing in the end, and it's maybe his sort of second and third touch is the thing that he can improve. But I think he's already come on leaps and bounds in an attacking sense, and that's so exciting for Liverpool, because I think it was almost the other way around for Nico Williams. It was that Nico Williams had the attacking potential and needs to sort of work on the defensive potential. I think in Conor Bradley, Liverpool have got almost an easier canvas to work off there, and it sort of shows that, you know, if there are questions around Nico Williams' future, that Liverpool have got another right back there who they can be in safe hands with.
Just on him, one of the things I, you know, just from what we've seen so far, Josh, you know, looking at the appearances that have been made at this stage, to me, you know, going all the way back to the game he plays against Norwich, even the game he plays against Preston, he looked faster. Yeah, you know, I think pace is difficult to obviously, to, you know, you can't literally take someone who's slow and make them very, very quick. But he looked to me just to be, especially bursting forward, he looked to me to already be a little bit quicker from the footballer we saw back in September.
Yeah, and loads of it is technique, isn't it? And I think, you know, he's quite leggy, isn't it? I think is probably the right way to sort of describe it. And I think in that sense, there's probably a lot in terms of running that they can work on it in terms of his technique and particularly running with the ball. Running with the ball is obviously much harder than sort of running without it. And I think that was one of the things you saw yesterday, is that when he does run with the ball, he felt like he was slightly more in control of it. And I mentioned about his second and third touch before, and that being something that he can improve on, because I thought a few times he sort of ran down blind alleys a little bit, and that's maybe because he's trying to focus more on the sort of technique of his run as opposed to actually keeping hold of the ball. But I think that's something that will come with time and development, and he's in the best possible place to sort of harness that development, and he's got some of the best staff in the world around him as well, and the academy staff think of him so highly.
To me, Ian, he looked clever. Like, yeah. I thought that was one of my main takeaways, is he looked like a clever footballer. In the same way that, again, you know, sometimes certain language doesn't get used around certain players. I think Robertson, for instance, is a clever player. Mm. I think he's very, very smart with the way in which he moves. He knows when to go this way, when to go that way. I actually think it's been a little bit of a frustration I've had watching Shimakas at times, that I think one of the things that marks out the difference between the two there is I do think that Robertson is just a bit more unorthodox in a couple of ways, but also is just clever with his movement. To me, that was one of the things I liked about Bradley. I thought I came away from it feeling like, you know, he had to put a couple of big tackles in. The goal, he doesn't do brilliantly. Canate certainly doesn't do brilliantly, let's be clear. But, you know, he gets over that, and then I thought he looked like a clever player.
Yeah, absolutely. I think on the goal, you know, it is one of them where they're clearly going to target him, aren't they? Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's Robertson and Van Dijk on the other side.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But then you are looking for your centre-half to belly it out, and Canate, you know, doesn't do that. Goes into a decent game, but yeah, that's a poor moment for him. I was really impressed. I mean, if you said to the lad before the game, you know, you're gonna walk away with an assist, and then you play a really, really important part in another goal as well, which he does. You know, for the Bobby goal. I mean, it's just a really, really, really good display. And I think, you know, Liverpool have got to be thinking, well, what do we do if we have to take out the fullbacks? I agree with your points around Tsimikas. I think I've been quite impressed with him, but I think there are times where you just realise you miss Robertson, and that's absolutely fine, by the way, because you're talking about one of the best footballers in the world in his position. So you're never going to be able to replicate, because if he was that good, he'd be playing first choice somewhere. I think that's fair to say. But I still think Tsimikas has done more than enough to show really kind of green shoots, really, that actually, if you've got to take Robertson out, there's a lad in there who can almost offer you a light version, which is absolutely fine, because you expect Robertson to play more games than not. And, you know, right back, it's really hard. I think you've said this loads of times, Neil. How do you replicate what Trent does? It's impossible, because you are talking about one of the standout footballers in European football, and he's so much more than a right back. So you've got to find another version where actually you've still got defensive stability, and Josh has talked about that in terms of Bradley. He's got a little bit of that already, and it's slightly different in terms of maybe Nico's kind of problems or maybe lack of ability at times to defend. Doesn't look like the case with Bradley. He looks like he's pretty solid. Don't get me wrong, he will get exposed, because he's that age, and it's going to happen, because you're talking, when you make that step up, you're talking about top footballers. You can just, in the glimpse of an eye, just really expose you. But I think going forward, I mean, I was really, really impressed with it. I didn't quite think he had that from the little bits I've seen. But to play the way he did, I thought, you know, the manager will be delighted. And you talked about clever footballers. There's nothing more that a manager wants than a clever footballer, someone who can take on information and immediately implement it. And he looks like he's got all those tools. So, again, will he be a lad who Liverpool are able to use going forward? It looks like they might be able to, but at this moment in time, it's really hard for an 18-year-old to look at him and go, yes, he's going to be perfectly fine if Trent came off the team for 6 weeks. That's really, really difficult to say. But based on yesterday, nothing but positives, really.
Nothing but positives for all of them. The senior lads, it's interesting, Sean. The senior lads now includes Curtis Jones and Cahill Kelleher, which is quite something, and it shows progress for both. Thought Jones ran himself into the ground. The goalkeepers did nothing wrong. You know, I think Jones was also ran into the ground, which I think might be the idea. We want to put 90 minutes into you and see how you are the other side of it. Fabinho plays well in general. Van Dijk was very, very no-nonsense. Firmino gets a goal. You know, we've talked up, rightly, the young lads. We often don't get to talk about them on this show. But the senior lads, even as a Canate, for the goal, he's not great, but all of them can come away feeling like, you know what, job well done. There wasn't one who you came away feeling as though, well, he let the side down.
Definitely. And I think Jones had the toughest job out the lot, to be honest, because he sort of, you know, we spoke about having a solid spine, which we did have yesterday, but Jones has got to be that senior person, you know, at the other end of the pitch, and he's got to sort of pull all them other lads with him. So I was impressed with all of them. I thought they all did what they needed to do. It's funny though, I was when I seen the team come out, I was like, oh, he's gone strong at the back. At least we won't concede. And then all of a sudden we're 1-0 down. But I thought they were great. I thought for Fabinho as well, you know, to score two goals, to score the penalty, it's you know, you can't sort of downplay that, because, well, I think he was a Monaco's penalty taker, wasn't he? Before he comes to us, and then he misses one in his first game for us, doesn't he? So for him to put that penalty away, no nonsense, and then I was made up for him to get that goal at the end as well. I thought it was great to see.
Oh, the goal at the end was, honestly, he absolutely wallops it. It was outrageous the way in which it hits the back of the net.
It was about 12 hours there where we all thought Carrick was going to start, and that was going to put my dry January to the test. It turns out it was all fine. Callaghan was fine to play. So,
I thought one of the things I thought was interesting was how no nonsense Van Dijk was, and I do wonder if maybe this is part of perhaps a little internal conversation at Liverpool, or if it's simply because of the nature of it being a cup game. But there's a number of times where Van Dijk doesn't mess about; it just goes into the stand. And I wonder if, you know, we've seen that a couple of times this season where I've thought, oh, Liverpool are starting to do a bit of that, are they? And then it's gone back to us trying to play in all scenarios. We'll see, I suppose, is the answer on this one, Josh. But there are big games with a bit of pressure on coming up in all comps. Van Dijk will expect to play the vast majority of them, I think. I do sort of wonder if Liverpool may well just have taken this little mini hiatus. They've got to think, you know what, there's a time to play and a time not to.
Yeah, I think they probably is. There's an element of which they want to sort of add a bit of versatility to the game. But I think you've seen it around Kelleher in particular. I thought it was particularly evident in the Chelsea game that they're not as prepared to play with him as they are with Alisson. And that goes without saying, because Alisson's, you know, the best goalkeeper in the world. And Kelleher, while he's really good with his feet, there's still a few sort of nervy moments where he maybe just holds on to it a little bit longer. He maybe just thinks about it a little bit more of a look. Exactly, yeah. A little bit more of a look than Alisson would really need, because Alisson could just pick you out without even being able to see 70 yards up the pitch. So I think for Kelleher, that's definitely not the case yet, but he's getting towards that. And I think, you know, you mentioned about the more experienced lads just providing that foundation. I think no nonsense is the perfect way to describe it. And Curtis Jones, as you've all mentioned, I think has the hardest job. The shape is almost like reminiscent of 16-17 Liverpool, I think, in terms of Kate Gordon being Mane over on the right hand side and being the furthest up, and Waltman being Firmino and a little bit more withdrawn, than Curtis Jones even more withdrawn. And I think you saw Curtis maybe struggle with that a few times in the first half, where he's almost just looking for the shot and realizes he doesn't have the option on, and then sort of has to play little sort of passes to Robertson to try and get himself into a bit more space. But I thought, in terms of that foundation, to let the younger lads go and play, none of them can sort of look at themselves and be disappointed with their performances.
Firmino gets a goal, which I think is the sort of goal he gets in, it does feel to me to be quite significant. You know, it's very much a Roberto Firmino goal, while simultaneously being a goal 6 yards out between the sticks. Both of those things are what you want from him. I think the manager will be delighted with that fact. I think in general, Firmino will be delighted with that as well. You know, he wears number 9, he wants to be sticking in the back of the net, and the idea that he's returned, he's got one, with the challenges that are to come between now and sort of the 8 days into February, you know, we need Roberto Firmino at his best.
100%, and I think, you know, the manager talked about, I think he only had maybe one training session, I think Minamino was 2, so it was never going to be a case of you could start those lads, but you are open to see something from the bench. We definitely get that with Firmino. It's a lovely finish, as you said, it absolutely stinks of Firmino, you know what I mean, that's what he does. It's a speciality of his to do something creative in the box. You want him,
it's the way you get your 8-yard tap out of your Firmino.
I mean, I always want to see the number 9, regardless of what else is part of his kind of armour, if you like, and we know he can do little bits when he drops off and he can make Liverpool tick, all that. You still want to see a number 9 between the sticks and getting goals, and I think it's important, especially over this period that's coming up, Neil. You know, we are losing Sadio Mane, which I think is more of a blow than one or two people will give credit for, but in Mohamed Salah, you're talking about goals and assists, and that's the key. It's a lad who provides goals, but he also provides plenty of assists, and we're not going to have that. And I think, you know, it is 2 league games, and people talk about it as it's only 2 league games. Those 2 league games could be vital. We've got to make sure we put them away. You know, it's Palace, I know they're missing players as well, and Brentford, who we have, you know, struggled with this season in terms of what they can provide as a threat, and then there's the League Cup games, and I hope Liverpool, and I'm sure they will, are taking the League Cup extremely seriously, because I want to go and win that trophy now. You're at the semi-final stage. Why wouldn't you want to go and win it? I'm sure the players are talking about it in those terms. Arsenal yesterday don't look great. I know they make seven changes, but they don't look a team that's handled that Man City game particularly well in terms of the adversity that happens in that very match. They're a team that look like they're making poor decisions in key moments, and there's a number of them doing that. So Liverpool have got to try and take advantage. They're at home, and I want to see a really, really strong team on Thursday. A team that does include Roberto Firmino, hopefully, and Diogo Jota. We don't know what's happening around some of the COVID stuff, but from what the manager was saying and the language that was being used, you would expect to see a lot more first teamers coming on Thursday.
More to come on that in a second. Listen, if you don't subscribe to the Anfield Wrap, please do consider doing so. As Ian says, there, big game after big game coming on the horizon. Liverpool have got to find a way to put Brentford to the sword, and then I've got to do the decent thing in London for the first time this season at Crystal Palace. I do not want a thriller at Crystal Palace. No more thrillers, Liverpool. Can we park the thrillers at least until the quarterfinal stage of the Champions League, and then maybe a thriller or two here and there? Run-of-the-mill victories that we can talk about and you can enjoy us talking about on the Anfield Wrap is what we want. So subscribe if you haven't had the opportunity to do so far this campaign. It is the anfieldwrap.com/subscribe. Also, just download the app, and from there, if you want to see what we can do, there's all sorts of tokens on there, and there'll be other opportunities soon to subscribe through that. But download the Anfield Wrap app and you'll be able to see everything that we are up to and go, my god, it's an awful lot, isn't it? Also, we've recently signed a little thing with a company called Leveler, which is effectively sort of online groups talking about Liverpool Football Club and transfers and all sorts of bits and pieces. There's already a lot of people who either subscribe or take an interest in the Anfield Wrap knocking around on there as well. If you get the daily email, there'll be a link to it in that one today. Do sign up, do come and enjoy it. Really, the vibe's absolutely excellent. It's everything we've wanted so far. So thank you to everyone who has signed up. But if you would like to do so, do feel free to jump on there. And as I say, it'll be in my daily rundown email today. As we've been doing this, Shrewsbury have put a little bit of statement out around the nonsense before the game, the distasteful nonsense in general. I think it's worth saying, you know, in the reaction to the match and even during the game themselves, bar one slightly unpleasant tackle on Robertson, for which the lad apologised immediately. I felt as though Shrewsbury Town before, during and after the match as an institution themselves handled themselves very, very well around the Liverpool game. And it is worth pointing that out, because we pointed that out recently when other teams have been the opposite, other clubs have been the opposite. So, you know, Shrewsbury there accredited themselves all the way through. Steve Cottrell accredited himself. And as I say, you know, there's one of their lads, for instance, interacting with John around all the nonsense and saying it is deeply unpleasant. The whole thing should be about respect. And that's what you want from the third round of the FA Cup. All right, then. Let's do it all again. What is Ian Ryan's super strong team that he wants to see against Arsenal? He's got Rushy up front. Josh, what are we... Well, given what's come out, given who didn't feature... You know, I do wonder where he might have thought he still wanted to protect a few anyway. I think he's also... I think one of the really interesting things about the manager, I think he's now sort of... I think he now knows, for instance, he is the ultimate competitor, like all these fellas are, to be fair. They're all, you know, if you're managing a footy team, it's fair to say you've got a certain competitive attitude. So I think what a few have started to do is not put players on the bench that they'd want to bring on if they turned and looked at the bench and it wasn't going well. So I think it's difficult to guess who is where for fitness and all of that. It wouldn't surprise me if, for instance, he's looked at Jota, he's looked at Henderson, and he's thought, you lads, you are going to be playing two legs against Arsenal, Brentford and Crystal Palace, so I want you to save yourselves now. What are you expecting in terms of fitness? Because it is a lot of reading between lines.
Yeah, it is a lot of reading between the lines. I'd expect us to go fairly similar in terms of the adults who played in the Shrewsbury game to be asked to go again. I think maybe save for Curtis Jones. I'd probably expect James Milner to be involved in some sort of capacity. And I think in terms of the front three, it's probably the, you know, Minamino and Firmino both come off the bench in that game, and it's probably those two who get the start. I'd imagine that Firmino play through the middle, Minamino on the left, and then maybe Jota on the right, and he just sort of goes with almost what I said before about that 16-17 front three, where Jota will play the most advanced on the right hand side, and it just sort of works
like off, Salah off as well. Salah's the most advanced as well,
exactly. Yeah, and Minamino will probably play not necessarily the deepest behind Firmino, but him and Firmino will be in a sort of similar area of the pitch, and it almost switches on the axis of Diogo Jota. So I'm expecting a dead exciting team, and I'm expecting a dead exciting game as well. I think I'm looking forward to being in Anfield under the lights for someone that's not a Champions League game, because it does just have a different feel to it. And as Ian said before, the League Cup feels massive to Liverpool this season, because the one thing that you don't want to happen to this team is for them to look back on such a period of greatness with only a few bits of silverware to look at, and this is a massive chance for Liverpool to go and get that.
Matip was on the bench, Sean, which makes you wonder if Matip could be involved. You know, the manager always seems quite comfortable in terms of dropping him in, and then he's got a bit of a decision to make, possibly between Robertson and Shimakas. Will he just go with Robertson for this run of games, or will he have an eye on Shimakas for one of them? As I said before, it is four games that Liverpool really do need to be getting a result from. Whatever happens in the first leg then leads to the second leg. What are you expecting?
I'm expecting strong, as strong as possible, really. I think, as Josh has touched on there, we need to be more greedy when it comes to trophies now, because we are living in a world where Manchester City are just ridiculous. So I think that, you know, previously you might have thought about the domestic cups and thought, you know what, you know, we'll sacrifice them to sort of go as far as we can in the big ones. Now I think he's probably thinking, I haven't got that long left at Liverpool. I need to get some more in the cabinet. And I think, even looking at a selection at the weekend, I think you can tell that Arsenal's the one that's prioritised. The fact that they've really pushed to get it postponed, I think, as well, speaks volumes. I know, you know, it was an unplayable situation, but I think if there was even a chance that they could have played it, they would have probably leaned towards not playing it, because they want to do well and they want to sort of get to the final now. I think the Leicester game as well, that'll be a big thing for them. You know, winning that in the way that we did, you don't want that to just be, you know, a footnote on a season. You want that to really count for something. So I'm expecting them to go as strong as possible. You know, whoever's fit, whoever may be, out of the first team, I think he'll go for it. He surprises you quite a bit, Klopp, in his selections, in terms of how strong he goes when you don't think he's going to go strong. And I think Thursday is probably one of those occasions where he just goes full strength and he goes for it.
But can I ask you a question? When he goes full strength,
yeah,
who do you think he plays in goal?
Alisson.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, who do you think he plays in goal?
I think it was interesting that Alisson wasn't part of the squad yesterday. I mean, if you're not going to play from the start, there's probably no point in putting him on the bench, in fairness. I think Kelleher will be disappointed if he doesn't get the nod, given he's played the previous games. I think the thing is, if you get to the final, Neil, I think it's a much harder conversation to then have with someone like Kelleher if you don't play him in the final, if you've played him in the semi. I think if you pick Alisson for the semi, then it becomes a lot easier if Alisson plays in the final. You've got it out the way. So I'd be going towards Alisson, because I think Liverpool have got to take the game incredibly seriously, and that's not to say Callagher wouldn't do you a kind of a good stint in goal. I'm sure he will, but I'd be going Alisson. I'd be going as strong as I possibly could on Thursday. I have to say that I think the front three thing that Josh just outlined, I think it's really tricky, because I don't think there's a really natural front three there. I think Minamino and Firmino both coming back, obviously, from, you know, illness and injury, whatever it may have been, and haven't got a lot of training sessions in their kind of locker. Now I know they will have some training sessions this week. I'm not sure he'll want to go with both of them. Does he then do a Curtis Jones or an Oxlade-Chamberlain in the front three? Possibly, but that doesn't feel particularly great. You know, Jota on the right-hand side, for instance, never feels as natural as when he's on the left-hand side or through the middle. So I think it's really difficult. And that's where I talked about before, you know, would he do something a bit mad, like throw Gordon? And again, probably not, but it might just be in the back of his mind that it's a more of a natural three. If he's got Gordon on the right, Jota on the left, and Firmino through the middle, it feels more natural. And he's got five subs. So maybe if there is a little curveball, and I think there will only be one curveball, because I think it will be senior pros throughout the team, bar maybe one position, it might just be that position where he thinks, you know what, that's got a lot of confidence, there's a lot to be said just for building on that, and maybe just giving him another hour, not the full 90, because I think he probably will tire, but maybe give him the full hour, and then maybe you look at someone like Minamino or someone like a Chamberlain who could come on and do bits for you. So I think that's interesting. I think in midfield he'll want to go Henderson, he'll want to go Fabinho, and as I say, depending on what he does with the front three, it may well be a Curtis Jones in there, it could be a Chamberlain in there, so it'll be intriguing to see what he does.
So I think the other thing that'll come into the selection on Thursday is rhythm. So he speaks quite a lot about rhythm and getting players in rhythm and getting players sort of playing well. And I think Liverpool are arguably worse off when we've had a longer period of rest, and that's what we've had such a stop-start, you know, period at the moment, particularly with Salah and Mane not being here. I think he's going to need his sort of front three or his attacking players to get that rhythm together to play in every game now. To play, yeah. You know, obviously you've got the injury risk, which could be catastrophic if one of them picks up an injury. But I think you've got to just think past that now and just go, right, we need these fit and firing for the next sort of 3 to 4 weeks.
That's why I think Robbo plays if he's okay after that challenge, because I think he'd be saying to the manager, I've just missed three games, I don't want to be missing any more, so yeah. I'm available, I'm fit, play me, it's a semi-final. So I think, you know, someone like Robertson will be absolutely desperate to start on Thursday.
Who did you pick in goal?
I think he's going to go with Kelleher again. I think to be fair, so the past few selections have done him a favour in terms of, if he does want to drop Kelleher, he can say, look, you've had a few games there, you've performed, you know, really well in for the most part, and then he can say, I'm going to go back to Alisson now because we've got cup semi-final, as you say, sort of a few big games on the horizon. I think the shape will be quite interesting, this one. I wonder whether he could be tempted to tweak it, and as you know, because Ian mentions before, and I've said about the three lads, he could start up top, all three of them play the best through the centre, so it sort of gives him a bit of a conundrum in that sense. And I wonder whether he'll just want to go to like maybe a diamond and go Jota and Firmino up top, and then maybe have a Chamberlain playing in the 10 behind him. It'll be dead interesting to sort of see what he does. But I think if I'm trying to hop into Jurgen Klopp's mind, I think he probably just goes with Kelleher again, and he says to Alisson, look, I'm just keeping you for Brentford, and we'll go on all out assault for whatever is left in the league.
Centre half,
I could see him sticking with Konate. I think he'd bring Matip back in for Brentford. Shaw mentions the idea of rhythm and things like that, and I think Konate has obviously played a few games in a row now, and I think he will just see that partnership with Virgil developing, and I love the way Virgil, you know, he obviously talks everybody through the game, but particularly Konate yesterday, I love the way he's just constantly talking through the game, like every touch Konate has, Virgil has a comment on it after, and I don't know whether that's for the best or for the worst.
Must be exhausting.
He's always getting his ear chewed off by Virgil, but that partnership is developing, and I can see it going again.
It's a first leg, and that's changed, Josh. It's important, I think, that Liverpool have a lead to take to Arsenal. What are your expectations? Do you think they will get the victory?
I think so, yeah. I don't know if it'll be as convincing a lead as maybe we want it to be. I think it'll probably be a little bit closer than we think, just because of the way the last few weeks has sort of panned out for Liverpool, and in terms of, you know, that obviously they'll hopefully get a few training sessions in this week, but there's been a bit of a lack of training over the past sort of week or so. So I just wonder whether Liverpool will need to fill themselves into the game. But as Ian mentioned before, one of the sort of identifying facts of Arsenal this season is that they do make poor decisions in key moments, and I expect Liverpool to be able to capitalise on that.
I mean, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you? I think, you know, playing at Anfield in a semi-final, you'd always back Liverpool no matter what team's out. It is a shame that we're sort of forfeiting the second leg being at Anfield, because I think if that was the case, I'd be a lot more confident of going through. You know, I know Arsenal got beat the weekend and looked sort of, didn't look great, but I do think they have been good. You know, I'm not super, super confident going into Thursday, you know, just because of the players we've got missing. But I think, you know, the Anfield factor will play a part on Thursday. So, as I say, you'd like to think so.
I was thinking, kind of going into the weekend, I felt it may end up being a draw on Thursday, but Liverpool will go through over the two legs. After watching Arsenal yesterday, I mean, I wasn't impressed, but I think they will make a lot of changes for Thursday. And obviously, he made seven ahead of the FA Cup game. I think you can expect a reaction, though. Arteta was absolutely furious with that performance. I thought it was terrible. There was such a lack of movement. And there was still enough players in that Arsenal team to kind of put Nottingham Forest away, really. And I think there'll be a huge disappointment that they've not progressed into the fourth round. I think they said on commentary yesterday, Arsenal have been a team who, yeah, they start the season poorly, but they've pretty much beaten who you'd expect them to beat. They're not expected to beat Liverpool, even with the players that are missing. Really intriguing game. I think Liverpool, now we're getting close to it, I think they might just edge you.
Okay, excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed to Ian, to Sean, and to Josh. It has been the Anfield Wrap this week. Prior to Liverpool going to Arsenal, we're doing Tour Live on Friday after that Arsenal game. Loads of reaction to that Arsenal game, as you would expect, but also lots of build-up as well. It is a big one Thursday night. Very much looking forward to getting into Anfield. Very much looking forward to it being, as there is now the legendary phrase, under the lights. Maybe they'll switch the lights off. Give the game a whole new vibe. But we'll see. We'll see if Liverpool take that unconventional approach. Until then, take it easy. Sports Social Podcast Network.